Let's open the Bible this morning and turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. The heading states a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It's on the basis of Psalm 92 and all of the sacred scripture that we have the teaching of Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is an explanation of the fourth commandment, which we read a few moments ago in reading the law. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved in Lord Jesus Christ, it is interesting to note that in its explanation of the fourth commandment, the Heidelberg Catechism does not give to us this morning a long list of prohibitions. Don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. A list of prohibitions would seem to be fitting because on the one hand, there is widespread desecration of the Sabbath. In fact, there's almost no evidence anywhere that Sunday is a holy day unto the Lord because almost all men everywhere desecrate the Sabbath, and probably most of your neighbors and many professing Christians. So people need to hear prohibitions. Don't do this and don't do that. And then on the other hand, we ourselves are guilty of desecrating the Sabbath day, and we could stand to hear some prohibitions. Don't do this and don't do that. But the Catechism gives no such list. The Catechism refuses to treat us as Pharisees. the Catechism refuses to give us any kind of opportunity to suppose that the keeping of the Sabbath day consists merely of conforming our lives to some codes governing external conduct. The Pharisees, now they had their list of rules, and that's clear from the scriptures and from the Jewish tradition. For example, don't pick corn on the Sabbath day. Well, I don't pick corn on the Sabbath day, so I'm keeping the Sabbath day holy. But now I see my neighbors picking corn. I actually just saw the Lord Jesus himself picking corn, so he's breaking the Sabbath day, but I'm not. Or don't take too many steps on the Sabbath day. That is, don't exceed the distance of a Sabbath day's journey, which for the Jew was 2,000 cubits, about 3,000 feet, a little over a half a mile. Well, I've only taken 400 to 500 steps today, so I'm keeping the Sabbath. Or according to Jewish tradition, if you are a woman, you may not look in the mirror on the Sabbath. Because if you do, you might spot a white hair in your head and then try to pluck it out. And then you would be working on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees piled up rule after rule after rule, a long list of prohibitions. And the Catechism doesn't do that in Lord's Day 38, but the Catechism penetrates to the spiritual principle of the Sabbath of rest, and it gives expression then to how the believer delights in the Sabbath as a day of rest, how he ceases from all of his evil works and yields himself unto the Lord by faith. So the Sabbath day for us is not only a day in which we set aside all of our daily work, all of those things that occupy us during the other 6 days of the week, but it's a day we enter by faith into the spiritual rest that has been accomplished by our Lord. It's a day we come together to worship in God's house and to taste and to see that God is good and to delight in Him as the God of our salvation. The Heidelberg Catechism is written from the perspective of a regenerated child of God. The unregenerate cannot keep the Sabbath day. The unregenerate man might close his business on Sunday, and he might refrain from all kinds of recreation. Maybe he even shows up in a church and sits in a pew. But the unregenerate man cannot keep the Sabbath day holy. Only the regenerated believer. For proper Sabbath keeping arises out of the heart. It's not merely a matter of what you do or don't do. It arises out of the heart. It is worship from the heart. It is delight in the heart. It is love for God in the heart. It is faith arising out of the heart. So the Catechism this morning in Lord's Day 8 is marvelous in its explanation of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. That's God's word to us in His law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember. And that's not merely the activity of the intellect so that we wake up on Sunday morning and we come to the conclusion, well, it's not Saturday today, it's not Monday today, I remember it's Sunday, it's the Sabbath. It's much more than that. It's the spiritual activity of the heart to dwell upon what the Sabbath is, what true rest is in Jesus Christ, and what it took for the Lord in all of His toil, especially on the cross, to remember what it took for Him to be able to earn for us the rest that we have and enjoy. Remember. So let's consider the fourth commandment this morning under the theme, remembering the Sabbath day, its foundation, its delight, its fruit. The Sabbath day is, as the Catechism says, a day of rest. That I, line two, that I especially on the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest. Now in the fourth commandment, God requires that we remember this Sabbath day, this day of rest. Let's remember three major historical events this morning that are foundational for the Sabbath. Creation, the giving of the law, and Jesus' resurrection from the dead. First of all, let's go back to the creation. God established the Sabbath as a day of rest and as an enduring creation ordinance when God instituted the Sabbath in the beginning, so that the Sabbath has continued from the beginning of the world, the first week of history, all the way down to this present day. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." God worked for 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh day. And he wasn't simply idle, but he was delighting in all the works of his hands. And by blessing and sanctifying that seventh day as a Sabbath of rest, God established an unbreakable rhythm in the creation. Work, 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 6 days of work, and the seventh day, rest. That is, 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. And God established that ordinance for man, so that Jesus would later say in Mark 2:27, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." The command to remember the Sabbath in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, is grounded in the fact that Sabbath is a creation ordinance which God established when he rested in the beginning on the seventh day. So that Exodus 20, verse 11 says, "For, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now here's the reason. "For, in 6 days the Lord made heaven," and so on. The Sabbath ordinance is an inviolable principle that God has built right into the creation, so that there are, from the beginning of the world, there are 6 days of work and a seventh day of rest. And God's own working and day of rest is the ultimate foundation, the deepest foundation for the Sabbath and the keeping of it. So first of all, we have the creation. Let's move now to the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments in stone at Mount Sinai. The requirement to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy was not first revealed at Sinai. Israel knew there was a Sabbath. They knew that there were 6 days of work and then a day of rest. They knew that going all the way back to the creation. That there was a Sabbath was not first revealed in Exodus 20 when Israel was given the law at Mount Sinai. You could go back into the beginning of the book of Exodus and then go back into the book of Genesis and just go back to Joseph and to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and go back to Noah, go back to Enoch, go all the way back to Adam. They all knew that there was a Sabbath, so that before Israel ever came to Mount Sinai and heard the Ten Commandments, they knew there was a Sabbath, and therefore when God gave them manna before they came to Sinai, they were told, according to Exodus 16, verse 26, 6 days ye shall gather it, but not the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. In it there shall be none. And the Israelites didn't say, Sabbath. What's a Sabbath? Why are we supposed to gather manna for 6 days and then not gather manna on the seventh day? Well, because it's the Sabbath. What's a Sabbath? They didn't say that. They all knew that there was a Sabbath because God had instituted it in the beginning with Adam. They all knew it. However, it was only when Israel came to Mount Sinai that God explicitly wrote out this commandment, wrote it in stone, and wrote it with his finger, remember the Sabbath day. So the whole generation of Israel, they heard that law given to them explicitly by God at Mount Sinai. Now that generation, over the next 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they would all die off. And so 40 years later, Moses takes the new generation to the doorstep of Canaan, and Moses gives the law again, as we have it in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But what's interesting is that when the law is given the second time at the doorstep of Canaan, the ground for the fourth commandment is different. Exodus 20 gives the ground as God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh, so you keep the Sabbath day holy. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we read in verse 5, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God has commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. In other words, when the law was first given, the fourth commandment was grounded in creation. When the law was given again at the doorstep of Canaan, the fourth commandment was grounded not in creation, it was grounded in redemption. So Israel had to know that the Sabbath day, which existed from the very first week of the history of the world, was a day of rest in which they were to cease from all of their works and remember the creative works of God. But it is also a day to remember God's redemption, to remember that it was only a little while ago that we were under the tyranny of Pharaoh in the house of bondage in Egypt, and God set us free. God heard our groaning. God remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he set us free. But even more importantly, on the Sabbath day, Israel was to remember that their redemption from Egypt was a type. It was a picture of the better redemption to come, redemption in the Messiah from sin and from death and being set free really, truly into the liberty of God's everlasting covenant of grace. Creation. God established the Sabbath as an enduring ordinance. And then we have the giving of the law where God explicitly commanded the keeping of the Sabbath. He wrote it in stone. But now the third crucial event for our proper understanding of the foundation of the Sabbath is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on the first day of the week. Jesus' resurrection was as magnificent an event as the creation of the universe. Jesus coming out of the grave was a brand new thing. Just like creation. It was a brand new thing. Only now, it wasn't something out of nothing. Now, it was something out of death. And this was not merely a dead man coming back to life and coming back to his old life in that old dust-framed body like Lazarus, astounding as that is. And this wasn't merely like the creation being revived again in the springtime as we see it all around us outdoors. This was a new thing that had never been seen before. Down in that grave of death and darkness was buried all of our sins and the curse that is due to us earthly sons of men. And now emerging out of, we just commemorated this 2 weeks ago, emerging out of that grave in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ was the heavenly. was true immortality that Adam never possessed, in the person of Jesus was the perfection of eternal glory in body and in soul. God, in the person of Jesus, had finally accomplished that covenantal redemption and rest for His people that He ordained from all eternity and that He had pictured and typified through all of the old dispensation. Now, finally, there truly was that rest accomplished in Christ. On the first day of the week, the firstborn of the covenant came out of the house of bondage with rest, everlasting rest, heavenly rest, and life with God for all God's people. That was a magnificent thing. That was a new thing. And with that magnificent resurrection on the first day of the week, God established a new day as the Sabbath. The church did not change the Sabbath from Saturday, the seventh day of the week, to Sunday, the first day of the week. God changed the day of the Sabbath when God raised His Son Jesus from the dead on the first day of the week and finally brought that rest He had promised through all of the old dispensation. And therefore, Jesus gathered with His disciples on the first day of the week. He gathered with them Resurrection Sunday later that evening. And the very next Sunday, the first day of the week, He gathered with His disciples. And He breathed out His Holy Spirit and sent them out to preach remission. And then you go into the book of Acts, and the apostles with the new Christians, they always gathered on the first day of the week. There actually is in the new dispensation now what the Bible calls the Lord's Day. There's something called the Lord's Day. So that John says, according to Revelation 1 verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And then you have to ask, well, what's the Lord's Day? When is the Lord's Day? Well, it's the day when Jesus manifests that He is Lord. When did Jesus manifest that He is Lord over everything, including over death? He didn't manifest His Lordship on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. That was the day in which He was in the grave for the entirety of the day. He manifested His Lordship on Sunday, the first day of the week, when He came forth out of the grave, when He came forth out of the house of bondage with that covenantal rest that God had always promised. On the first day of the week, Jesus brought rest. With that magnificent resurrection, God not only established a new day for the Sabbath, so that the Sabbath is not the seventh day Saturday, but the Sabbath is the first day Sunday, but God gave us a new perspective, a new pattern, or a new perspective in the old pattern of 6 and 1. In the old covenant, the rhythm went like this. Day 1, work. Day 2, work. Day 3, work. Day 4, work. Day 5, work. Day 6, work. Oh, this is exhausting. Day 7, rest. In the old dispensation, you always worked by moving toward rest. And that was not only true as a weekly reality, that was the overall reality in the old dispensation. The saints of the old covenant, they were always moving toward rest, toward the rest that would be accomplished in the promised Messiah. They were moving toward it. But something profound happened in the resurrection of Jesus. Rest was no longer pictured, but rest became an accomplished reality so that there is now heavenly rest for God's people. And in the new covenant, the rhythm is different. It goes like this. Day one, rest. Ah, rest. Day two, work. Day three, work. Day four, work. Day five, work. Day six, work. Day seven, work. Day one, the beginning, rest. Now, instead of working toward rest, we rest. And then we work out of that rest all the days of the week. The whole of the week of labor flows out of the fountainhead of the Sabbath of rest. God made the first day of the week the Sabbath of rest, and now we work out of it. And then always remembering, as the Catechism concludes, there is yet an eternal Sabbath, so that we're always looking for the perfection of rest in heaven. God has founded the Sabbath, and in Jesus Christ, He makes it a day of rest for us and commands us to remember it. Having considered the foundation of the Sabbath, looking at creation, the giving of the law, and Jesus' resurrection, we now consider its delight for all those who belong to Jesus. That's Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, who have His righteousness, who have His Holy Spirit within. We call the Sabbath a delight. We delight in it. Psalm 92 has as its heading a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. Now, our interest is not really in the content of the psalm. It really doesn't matter what Psalm 92 says. The heading indicates that this was a song for the Sabbath day, meaning the Israelites had so much delight in the Sabbath, there was a song about it. They sang about the Sabbath. And we have that too. We not only sing on the Sabbath day, but we sing about the Sabbath day. We sing with joy and delight about the rest that is ours in Christ. We have a certain attitude toward the Sabbath day. And that's reflected in how we live. We align the whole of our week with respect to the Sabbath day. We speak highly of the Sabbath day. By Saturday night, we are really beginning to focus on the Sabbath day. And even our young children come to understand how important the Sabbath is to us by our attitude toward it, our delight in the Sabbath, so that children grow up and maybe they wake up when they're early in their years and they're kind of groggy and they say, what day is it? You say, it's Sunday, and maybe they groan, Sunday, we have to go to church. But they grow up and they learn, especially through the attitude of their parents, no, Sunday is a day of delight. We delight in the Lord's day, the day of rest. And why do we do that? Why is the Sabbath so delightful for us? Well, number one, it's delightful for us to have a day of physical rest from our daily work. Psalm 92, verse 5 says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Isn't this one of God's great works that causes us to marvel? He built right into the creation a pattern of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest, and He designed that for man. You work 6 days. But you also rest. After 6 days, there comes the first day of the week again, rest. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. 6 days of work, one day of rest. Now imagine if you start a new job and you sat down with your employer, your prospective employer, and he says, okay, over the next period of 365 days, as you work for me, 365 days, I'm going to give you 52 days of vacation. Over the next 365 days, I'm going to give you just over 7 weeks of vacation. Really? God says to man, here, I give you a year, a whole year of time. And according to the principle that's embedded right in the creation, you get rest every seventh day. For a total of over 7 weeks of the year, you get a whole day of rest. And that's not vacation. That's rest. For the believer, true rest. O Lord, how great are thy works. Thy thoughts are very deep. That God would give to us rest every seventh day. Even rest from our physical labor. But you see, man is a brute. Verse 6, a brutish man knoweth not. And that's true of all God's works. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Man doesn't know. Man doesn't understand. Man doesn't value God's great works, including what he's done with the Sabbath day. So man kills himself. Man destroys himself. God says every seventh day, rest. And man says, no. And so he keeps his business running. He goes to work on the Sabbath day and because he's going to make money and that's going to be delight and power. But he's working against a law that's embedded right into the creation. You rest every seventh day. Rest. Man says, I will not rest. I do not need rest. And ultimately, I will not delight in God. And he really destroys himself. But redeemed by grace from our natural brutishness, and we're all brutish by nature, we delight in the physical rest that God gives to us on the Sabbath. We say, hallelujah, God gives to me, and God gives to my son, and God gives to my daughter, and God gives to my maidservant, and God gives to my manservant, that is, God gives to my employees, and God gives to my ox, and God gives to my ass, even my ox. Even my ass, that is, even my computers, even my tractors, even my hammer, even my tools, God gives to us a whole day to rest. Every seventh day, rest. We don't have to get our machines running. We don't have to swing hammers. We don't have to fix things. We don't have to do projects. We don't have to design things. We don't have to crunch numbers. We don't have to schedule conferences. We don't have to lead meetings. We don't have to do email. We don't have to travel abroad. We don't have to make history lessons. We don't have to do algebra problems. We get a whole day where we can rest. Put it all away. Put it all away and rest. A day of rest. And because we're not out in the field working, we're in the house. And therefore, the wife and the mother, who's usually so busy in preparing meals and taking care of the children, she has rest too. Because he's not out in the field. He's in the house. He's right there with her all day long. And he helps her. And together they have rest. Simply a physical rest. Just putting all those other things away. We delight. What a delight is the Sabbath. But secondly, we delight in the Sabbath, especially because it's a day to enter in by faith and to enjoy the refreshment. The refreshment that is in Christ. To give thanks unto our God. We belong by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is our delight because we used to be slaves in that miserable house of bondage, overworked by our master, slaves to sin, slaves to our pride, slaves to our selfishness and to our unbelief and to worldliness, slaves to work, slaves to Satan himself. But Jesus Christ, through all of his toil, especially on the cross, He paid the ransom price. He gave the payment through His atoning death. And on the first day of the week, when He emerged out of the grave, He set us free. He liberated us from slavery to sin. And He gives us a new heart, and He renews us in a new life to be able to enter into the redemption that is ours in Him. We delight in Christ. And now the Heidelberg Catechism gives expression to how we delight in Christ on the Sabbath day. What is the fourth commandment? What does God require us of us in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained. And really, that's talking about the 6 days of work. 6 days shalt thou labor. 7th day is a day of rest. You rest. In our 6 days of labor, we are delighting in the Sabbath, because we are maintaining the ministry of the gospel by working in order to support the gospel financially. That's what we do during the week. Not only to put bread on our table, not only to have something to give to the poor, but we work 6 days a week so that financially we can support the ministry of the gospel of rest. And not only the ministry of the gospel, but the schools, the day schools where the little boys can go to school, and the theological school where the older boy can go to school, and schools so that boys can be trained for the ministry and enter into the ministry and proclaim the gospel of rest. We delight in working to be able to maintain the ministry of the gospel and the schools for the sake of Sabbath rest. We delight the Catechism says in that I, it makes it very personal, in that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. We delight in frequenting God's house with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, coming to worship. And then whenever there's an obstruction, and there was something of an obstruction for some time in this pandemic, when we weren't able to frequent God's house as we desired, then we groan. And we groan with intensity, because our great delight is to be able to come to God's house for worship. And here in God's house, we hear His word, says the Catechism, and that's a delight to us. We use the sacraments. We get to have baptism. We get to celebrate Lord's Supper. That's a delight to us. And in God's house, we publicly call upon the name of the Lord. We delight to do that. We contribute to the relief of the poor. That's such a delight to us, because we know we used to be slaves to sin in the house of bondage. We were so poor and miserable, and God set us free. It's our delight to be able to contribute to the cause of helping the poor, as we were poor in our sins and are poor, and God gives to us. Remembering the Sabbath day is not a grievous burden to us as regenerated believers, so that we shouldn't need our elders always hounding us. You need to come to church. You need to come to church. You need to worship God. We shouldn't need fathers and mothers saying to us as young people, young adults, you need to come to church. But for a regenerated believer, this is my great delight to be able to worship the Lord and enjoy the Sabbath of rest. And what's also so delightful about it, and this is where the Catechism ends, it's a foretaste of that eternal rest, perfect rest from sin and grueling labor and worry and disquieting thoughts and troubling events and affliction and all the consequences of sin and the guilt that plagues the conscience. One day, perfect rest, where with all our heart we will delight in the Lord our God. We delight in the Sabbath of rest as those who belong to Christ. The Sabbath is not only delightful, but fruitful. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. God plants His people in His house. We don't plant ourselves. No tree plants itself, but God plants us in His house. We parents cannot take our children, our little children, and plant them in God's house, though we would like to. But God can do that as the God of salvation. Only God can do that because by nature we don't love the Sabbath and we don't love God's house. By nature we say, plant me at work, plant me on the beach, plant me on the golf course, plant me at home where I can do my projects. That's what we say by nature in our own corruption. But God takes us and He plants us in His house. And that's an interesting figure because once you've been planted in God's house, there you are. And you cannot leave. And you don't desire to leave. Planted in God's house. God plants us in His house by giving us a love to be in His house on the Sabbath so that then even when we're not in His house on a particular Sunday, because of our age, and maybe we're in the retirement home and we can no longer come to church, or because of disease or infirmity this week or some act of God's providence that prevents us from coming into God's house, the place of worship with His people on the Sabbath, even then, we are still planted in God's house because God gives us spiritually in our hearts a love for His house. In the heart, we're planted in His house. And it's a wonderful thing, a most blessed thing, for a father and mother to be able to see their children planted in God's house. And to see their grandchildren, their little grandchildren, planted in God's house. And it's here in God's house, on the Sabbath, that we flourish and we bring forth fruit and nowhere else. But when we're planted in God's house, then we flourish. Even and especially, the psalmist says, when we are old, old and gray, when the physical body is diminishing, that resurrection life is surging and thriving within, so that even when we are old. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And one of the fruits of old age for those who have been planted in the house of the Lord is to go back to where the psalm begins. We say more and more, and with deeper conviction, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is not a good thing to give thanks unto me. The Lord is everything, and I am nothing. I'm old now. I'm gray now. I've been planted in God's house for many years, and after the inner man, I delight in the Sabbath day. But I've wasted too many Sabbaths in days gone by. Too many Sabbath days I've spent with worldly cares and being drawn away into unprofitable exercises. Too often I went to church with an outward piety, but inside in my heart I was not delighting in the Lord. I was delighting in some worldly interest. Oh God, I am sorry. It is not a good thing to give thanks unto me and to praise me. But this is one of the fruits as we increase in years planted in the Lord's house. We say with deeper conviction with the psalmist, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord God of my salvation. and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, and to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning. And let's come back and do it again. Diligently frequent the church of God for worship in the evening. It is a good thing to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. Planted in the house of the Lord, we bring forth fruit. This fruit, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray unto Thee as our children who have received from Thy hand many blessings, and cause us to count this day, the Sabbath, a blessing, and to find it to be a great delight as the gospel is proclaimed and it is received by faith, and we know and believe and embrace the perfect rest that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So give to all of us poor sinners rest in the daily battle against our sin, and grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.